You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I have friends. I definitely have friends.
Oh, yeah. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends.
I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Cool. Welcome again to Crazy Ex-Girlfriends. We are discussing the episode Josh's Ex-Girlfriend is Crazy. She is straight up crazy now. Whoa. The show has finally come all the way to its name. This is like season 3, episode 4. Took us a long time to get here, but there is no remorse. She is crazy, and we're just going to keep calling her crazy.
You can't rush crazy, but when it comes,
you got to care about crazy first.
Yes, exactly.
Otherwise, it's just another show on the CW. But, oh my God, it was a really good episode this week.
Mm-hmm. And we've learned how long it takes for someone to care about crazy, right? Two seasons.
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years. After 2 years, then you can show you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a notice to the world.
Stick with it long enough, you can be crazy too.
Aww.
2 years like and 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Years and 2 weeks. Okay, so 365 times 2 plus 14, and that is your number of days before you can show you're crazy. You're welcome.
I'm excited by that, actually.
730 plus.
Plus man. 14, so 744.
744, sure. That's a good number. 744 before your cray-cray can show.
I see it right around the corner. It's coming. It's there. It's in the near distance.
Bum, bum, bum.
I will be batshit crazy.
It'll be like mid-December, I think.
Mid-December? Batshit crazy?
Yes.
Mark it on the calendar. Lost my mind.
Pick a day. It's the one you get to go insane on.
Fun fact, schizophrenia actually shows up more in people who are born in the wintertime. So there you go.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Schizophrenia is actually a gene that is dormant in many of us. It just doesn't actually get expressed. And it gets expressed
doesn't
more
get
in people.
Activated.
Yeah.
Is it by maybe like one or a series of genes? Because I'm thinking of like hallucinations and stuff should be like its own set of like things misfiring.
Bah, bah, bah.
Ooh. Do we think Rebecca's schizophrenic?
I think she cray.
Yeah. She lucky she cray.
Yeah.
Oh, the words of Valencia.
Yes. I love that Valencia once again did the whole I'll yank a pony.
Mm-hmm. Where was the first one? I remember it
was when Valencia was dressed like an angel and they were getting like dresses.
Yeah. She said she'd curb stomp her.
Curb stomp. I feel like that's the same category as yank a pony, but you're right. It was a little different. She
it's
also
a little
talked
nicer.
About. Yeah. She talked about taking her earrings off again, though.
She's matured. Still knows about the earrings, though.
She doesn't sound like she means it anymore, either.
Well, that scene, which we haven't talked about yet, mm-hmm. killed me because she just took it, and you know she mm-hmm. has a temper. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
Yeah, so I'll do the quick recap, and then we can go into that first scene, which I think Valencia is my vote for, like, or I should look up the actress's name. She's my vote for best actress in this episode.
Aww.
Personally, they were all amazing, but I loved her face in every single shot of it and like how she was reacting to every undertone of everything. So
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
I'm
so,
really mad I can't remember her name off the top
I'm,
of my head.
I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah, there you go. Ruiz. Mm-hmm. Yep. Gabrielle Ruiz.
Sometimes it just becomes like alphabet soup jumble in my head. Okay, so this episode, we open on the cliffhanger from the last episode in which Rebecca's in the arms of Nathaniel. She's being run out of the house to go away to Rome. She's running away from her problems. He's taking her away, what he thinks is like a lovely romantic getaway, reenacting the fairy tale she always thought she wanted, but you know, she got it, except this time it's interrupted by her friends coming rushing in with like court documents and like proof that she's been in a mental asylum. And she was charged with arson after stalking of some professor she was dating or stalking. It's not clear yet still, but we know his name is Robert. So all this has come to light. And this is the same Rebecca who has moved across the country to be in love with Josh Chan, who she stalked and infiltrated his life completely, became engaged to, was going to marry 2 weeks ago, and then he ran away at the altar from her. So she's in a very low point. And her friends come in. They think they're doing like a nice intervention. You can see any normal person watching this can see everyone is full of like love, care. It's going to go, you know, they love her. But she feels attacked. She reacts like she's being attacked. She runs out of the house. She disappears to a youth hostel, decides she's going to have to reenact a scary movie in which she murders Josh Chan, or at least makes him think so. Her life is a wonderful grand movie at this point where she's doing all these crazy things. And when she was being attacked, she said all these mean things about her friends to her friends, and they spend the rest of the episode individually going through those motions and addressing those. But she, meanwhile, is like basically just, you know, doing a horror, like scary movie stuff to Josh Chan, still ruining his life, still like she stole a bunch of remotes from Aloha Tech, yeah, throw them in his locker, and now he's accused of stealing and he lost his job.
Out of all the things to like be accused of stealing.
Yeah. Yeah, just remotes. Just
dozens of remotes.
TV remotes in 2017.
I want to be able to change the channel from every single spot in this room.
Oh my, I'm going to resell these for nothing. But
you want a remote? You want a remote? Got a remote.
Yeah, then we stole them all. But because it's, you know, a corporation, rules are you're screwed, Josh Chan. Your life is over. And basically her plan escalates to the point where she's kidnapped Josh Chan's mom, taken her to a fair.
Carnival.
Yeah. A pop-up fun time. Actually, it's not even clear if it's pop-up or it's there all the time. But everyone meets here at some point, Paula and her family, who Paula's main issue was Rebecca called her out and being a bad mom, so she brings her family to this carnival. I don't know, Rebecca's hanging out with Josh's mom. What's her name?
Lourdes.
She's hanging out with Lourdes. They're bonding. Lourdes is super nice to her, seeing, you know, kind of the same thing Naomi, Rebecca's mom, said to Josh. It's like, you kind of even him out, like all the things that are wrong with him. You kind of bring the opposite to the table, and you guys even each other out, and I'm going to miss you. But we think
parents with their two-dimensional views.
So nice, whatever. And we think Rebecca's going to murder this woman, but she doesn't, and then Josh confronts her. Actually, we don't know. She's not been murdered when Josh confronts her. Josh confronts her, and you think, oh, well, maybe she's going to stage a murder with him or something. There's a lot of scary movie stuff going on. We find out she's okay, or Lourdes is okay. Rebecca, not okay, but she doesn't get hurt physically. She doesn't hurt anyone physically. She's hurting in emotional ways all over, screaming at Josh Chan for not paying attention to her. He says, you know, continue to leave me alone. I do not want you involved in my life at all. Disappears off into, I don't know, space or something. Rebecca is sad. She goes to a bar. She is talking to the bartender. This is Greg's study spot where he used to study for community college. Greg, her ex-boyfriend that she thought was the love of her life briefly at some point in between Josh episodes. And she gets a sign. She's still into the universe giving her signs. She gets a sign from, you know, the universe that Greg might still be into her because she gets a butt dial from Greg. She's yelling at the phone, Greg, pick up. He's not. He's ordering food.
I hear you ordering a cheeseburger.
Yep. So she's just sad. She sits back down with her gin and tonic, which is cute because that's the drink Greg made her once upon a time.
Aww.
And then she looks down the bar and it's Greg's dad, and she goes over to him because that's, I guess, the polite thing to do, but she's really sad and defeated when she talks to him. And then he gives her this weird old man pep talk, and the next thing you know, they have fucked.
Yeah.
And Josh Groban is the voice in her head saying,
Josh Groban!
You haven't just ruined everything, you stupid bitch. Like, you fucked your ex's dad.
And reminds her that she shouldn't do it.
And you shouldn't do that.
In case you were on the fence.
I know you're walking home in shame right now, but you should feel a lot more shame than you're feeling. And I think it just leaves it there, really. There's like a lot of other loose ends with trauma well, then and everyone.
Gets, there's the end where she gets the phone call from.
Oh my! The part I blocked out because it's the most traumatic. Yeah, yeah. At some point, Paula calls Rebecca's mom. Says Rebecca's going through some hard rock bottom shit, which is no one's place to figure out. But she gets the worst person involved, which is Rebecca's own mom. And she gets a call from her mom, and she's got this sad look on her face, like, yes, mommy, everything's sad. And they cut out, and it's devastating.
You're right. I'll come home.
You're right. I'll come home. The end. Now we can talk about it in detail.
Well, my favorite part was the use of the word histrionic. That's a good word.
That was one clip I almost got. Do you want to describe or define what histrionic really is?
No, if you don't know, then go get a dictionary.
Ooh,
no, I'm sorry.
Stop being histrionic, Jim.
Referring to the past. Referring to something from basically that's about it.
I think it's hysterical. What I think that's the origin of it.
No, what? Histrionic? No, it's referring to something in the past. It's
all right.
Yeah.
Vocabulary it's, fight. It's, I'm probably going to lose because I'm the English major.
That's all it is just
that's also a mental state.
Yes.
Like being hysterical, but different.
Really? Wait.
In a way.
Am I the one wrong here? There's a good chance that I am.
So.
I hope so too.
I was going to look it up, but two people are already looking it up.
No, I think
we all need the same Google results.
Hang on a second.
Who can get Google fastest?
Okay.
No, it is a personality disorder.
Okay. Overly theatrical or melodramatic in style.
No!
Exaggerated dramatic behavior designed to attract attention.
All right, hang on. I'm blaming my literature
English
teacher.
Major one.
It's spelled just like historic, so that's probably how it
no, but I've
comes
had,
about.
I swear I've had a literature class or teacher who taught me different from that.
This is what the DMC when did this come into
this
use?
This is what happens when you go to a cheap university.
Well, everyone, we learned something really exciting today.
I kind of went to a cheap – oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I went to a cheap university,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but you went to a cheap university in an affluent area. I went to a cheap university in a pretty, like, rundown area, I guess.
On the plus side, we all have the same Google. So, yay. So about that episode.
I'm trying to piece together what I'm thinking. And it's or what I thought was interesting about that is histrionic is a personality disorder in the way that narcissism is.
Mm.
Yes.
And they're connected in that they both want like way more from other people.
Yeah.
But I think the only difference is probably narcissistic is Scott like inflated like I'm the bomb.
Yes.
tones, whereas histrionic is probably more Rebecca, honestly.
Mm.
Dramatic over, you know, oh, God. Dramatic and weird, if you will.
Yeah. But. So something I think was pretty awesome about this episode was, like, her tell-offs for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were intense, and they went straight to the heart. It's, like, one of those things mm-hmm. that you always know. Well, you don't always know, but sometimes you know your friend's weaknesses, and you're mm-hmm. just like, yeah. Well, we... You know, I'm not going to say it. We're good.
They're those things mm-hmm. that you would never say to somebody's yep. face that, mm-hmm. I mean, and mm-hmm. most Set of them were pretty true.
Yeah, well, and yeah. they got more mm-hmm. intense as it went on. Like, Valencia, no one wants to marry you. Well, she's been single for, like, a month. So, I mean, yeah. like, okay, fine. That's not so bad.
No one as in and, Josh Chan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
One person.
As in, like, you could probably find a million people who want to marry you. You're just not going there right now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Because you're better cool. than them and you're mm-hmm. not going with it. Yeah.
She already she already knows she can go into a bar and have any guy she wants. Mm-hmm. And she does. And I'm like, yeah, lady. Yeah, girl. But then, like, Heather saying, you know, they had to kick you out of school. You're a fraud. That gets mm-hmm. a little bit more intense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But Daryl, puppy Daryl. Oh, and he's
I think
like,
last episode we're like, you wouldn't bring Daryl somewhere you wanted drama.
Yeah.
No, you bring him exactly there to cut him down.
Aww. Yeah. But it's so sad too because like he's like, can I use the bathroom? My stomach really hurts because he's like so sad about it. And then she's like, honey bunch is a oat. Your boyfriend does not want to have a baby with you. And when I was watching these episodes again, it's really interesting because Daryl got on the baby train after Y. Joe said he didn't want to get married. Like, first Daryl was on the mm-hmm. marriage train, And YJ was like, I don't believe in marriage. And so, mm-hmm. like, Daryl then switched it over, and he was like, okay, fine, baby train. We're going to do babies.
Mm-hmm. And these are just both, like, two trains that are, like, super traditional conservative, yeah. like, straight, like, ways of solidifying a relationship.
Yeah.
So.
I wonder if it's going to maintain or if it's going to hit some kind of a wall where White Josh just finally decides, mm-hmm. like, this is too much.
Yeah.
They made them real in this episode mm-hmm. towards the end. I was yeah. like. It's good, yeah. but it's bad.
Yeah. Oh. No, let's just talk about it. They Daryl ends up confronting White Josh that you don't want to have a baby with me, do you? During the song yes. that's really sad, bah, sung by Josh Groban.
Yeah.
Life is not like a movie.
They first kind of discuss it while they're searching for Rebecca, mm-hmm. walking yeah. through the streets, and Josh just yeah. kind of like tries to brush it off.
And it's the first time I think we've seen Josh, White Josh, avoid a problem.
Yeah. Ooh. Ain't no party like a Hector search party.
So he does that for the like first time. But
probably
yeah.
because he cares more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also his answers that he gives, he's like, no, I don't think so. Like, he always says it, but then he kind of like diffuses it a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I really like you and I don't want this to be the end of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have that very serious discussion, like, you don't want it. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, see, even then,
but
he's
then
like,
he makes the
so.
Move and he holds Daryl's hand to be like, hey, I like still got your
still
back,
you.
And I don't know what to do. Go
Give
from
him
here.
5 years and he'll be like, yeah, it's not.
Yeah, he's like, what, 25? Come on. Yeah.
See, but
come on, Daryl.
It's one of those things that looking at Daryl and what he did, I was like, oh, wow, this is a thing that I always do. Where, like, you try to throw everything on the table in the beginning of a relationship. Where you're like, these are the things mm-hmm. I want. You better tell me if you want these things, too, because otherwise we shouldn't be together.
I
right?
think that's fair with babies, though, for sure. Like, married and babies should get those out of the way.
Yeah, but so
even
what
if it, like, cuts down your chances with, like, everybody.
Well, yeah, well, but maybe what if Daryl was like, oh, well, what if you want babies someday? Or do you want babies? Because he's saying you want babies now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. what if he was willing to just be like, hey, I want it on the table. Do you want them someday?
And mm-hmm. they're not going to have a baby without some kind of assistance.
Yeah. Yeah, tons like of work and money and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not that biological imperative mm-hmm. that you have if a woman's part of the couple.
Yeah. They have till they're in their 70s. They're
yeah.
they have all the time.
They can find any 19-year-old lady on the street looking for a quick 20 grand.
They have the baby. Daryl hangs around for about 6 months and then dies. And then,
oh.
like,
aww.
Super dark.
Aw,
oh, poor Daryl. Let's not kill him off.
Well, I mean,
we like
it'll
him.
Be like, you know,
oh, I guess
35
70,
years from now or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, 70 so. And 90. Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. But you know what? He lives on sunshine, so at least we have that. He has some time. Daryl.
Oh. Yeah.
I guess let's go back to the intervention.
Yes, back to the intervention.
Oh, yeah.
That was
back
not an intervention.
Not an intervention. And then, like, the escalating of cutting down your friends in the worst possible way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the thing that turned it, oh. Did we say this? I think the worst, the thing that turned it was Paula saying, Father Bra told me, give me a doctor.
Yeah.
Or name,
yeah.
Like that.
And I want
that
to take like the, you there.
That was like the inciting
yeah.
event
that
for the
was,
whole thing was
yeah.
a mention of a doctor.
Well, that
and that was where she lost all of her trust and started freaking out. Like, no, I'm not going to see any more doctors. Mm-hmm.
She didn't feel trapped until that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before that, she was actually touched. Like, you could see on her face. She looked really like she was
scared,
like, oh, these people
but,
are here
yeah.
for me. Wow. And I'm getting like love from people and compassion instead of. My mom screaming at me, what is wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with you. Come on, let's, you know. Like,
yeah, throwing that in there was just, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was the thing that turned it all.
Mm-hmm. Or even just there was another moment, too, where when she's cutting down Daryl, she's like, it's a joke, you're even my boss. And Nathaniel, of all people, is like, maybe chill it out.
Yeah, even he,
yeah.
Maybe. I'm a sociopath. I came in and I bought this company and I was going to run it into the ground. Maybe don't say that to another human being.
Yeah.
So I feel like there was like a moment where you saw on her face like, oh God, even he's against me. And then like everyone's against me. But one subtle thing in the acting that I love for all of those, as she's like telling people off, she wouldn't make eye contact. She'd say like the first thing and then she'd like have shifty eyes or down
yeah.
eyes, sad eyes.
Yeah, that
she's
was
like,
my.
Oh, it was so perfect.
The quick switch after she would say it, you saw like immediate remorse, you know, like a little flash of remorse across her face. Like she knew she was saying something mean and she felt bad about it, but her psychological condition is, you know, pushing up, get all these people away from me so I can get out of here and go, you know, escape so I don't have to deal with it. So I don't.
Well, yeah, and it's pretty basic and primal. Like, that's what little kids do. That's what your toddlers do, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we're in these situations, we go back to a reptilian brain, and we're like, okay, well, where are my first lessons? Mm-hmm. I better, like, kick and bite.
Yep. Or even just like no one loves me. I'm going to make sure no one loves me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not wrong. I'm going to protect this idea that it's – because, like, in the end, what can you trust? Your own perception of the world. Mm-hmm. And if you don't see, or you're scared and you don't see the love, like, of course you want to just, like, reinforce that so you don't have to, like, come back around and...
Well, yeah. Or this idea, and this idea that, like, something that you see a lot with younger children, like, you'll have a child who has a new sibling and he'll bite another child and then smile. And you're like, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. And the reason is because he, in a sense, the child is happy that they can see pain that they can't feel it. You know, like, they're
not the only one in
themselves.
Pain.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it kind of makes me think of that with Rebecca, too, where she's like, well, if I'm in pain and, you know, you guys are all feeling sorry for me, I'm not going to be the only one in pain.
Mm-hmm. She actually says it at one point that she wants – this is a little bit like when she ends up at that hostel. She says, I want Josh to feel as hurt and powerless as I do.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, exactly what she's doing to all of them. If I hurt like this – and, you know
– And Heather calls it out, too. Like,
now that we're talking about this, I'm having a bit of a personal epiphany.
Do you do this? Because I do this.
Well, I do. I've realized
I have done this.
I'm a very let's say I don't know. I don't know if I'm always negative, but I have a much more like dark and kind of, I guess, negative like vibe to me, or my mind is always kind of stuck there, and I almost have a bit of spiteful. Let me think. Like a spiteful kind of mental condition, where when people are noticeably like being very positive and happy, and like trying to like push that, like that's just the demeanor they want to get out there and put into the world and stuff. There is a part of me that's like, you don't get to be like that all the time. Like, no, you should. No,
you're miserable somewhere.
You're not being real right now. You're not being realistic about the state of things. Like, I think I'm recognizing in this conversation that, and I think about all this stuff a lot. I try to be introspective to try to like figure out what the hell is wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a part of it is along the lines of this, where if I'm experiencing things in this like with this miserable perspective, or you know, then other people better be seeing it like that too, to an extent, just because I don't want to be the only one who feels like this.
That basic thing of misery loves company.
I guess. If you want to put it in.
I mean, just like, it's like this is, or even like it's like, or maybe not as simple, but like something like national politics. Like, you either feel one way about our president or you don't. And people don't waver on that. And I think part of it's just like, I think everyone just deep down wants you to see the other side. Like, oh, well, but they can't. Because you feel one way about everything in life, be it the president or, like, I don't know, your own happiness. And it's just, I don't know, as much as you want someone else to see or feel it, like, you can't actually make them do that with negativity or anger. You have to do it through getting to know them for two and a half seasons.
You have to empathize.
Yeah, you have to empathize.
You have to empathize so you can see it from their perspective. Yeah. And then if you're going to subvert it, you have to do it in a very intelligent way that goes about it through kind of their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a tough kind of, it takes a lot of...
just a lot of emotional...
Yes, it does. Yeah. Control and intelligence.
Control, strength, intelligence. Yeah. All the dumb stuff out there. Yeah. Even all the way she reacts to is very much in my family, like how we taught each other to fight. Like, just cut each other down to like the deepest level and make someone hurt so much. So I'm like watching this. I'm like, oh my God, like, I get this. Like, I've been there. I've been that hurt and just like screaming like that. And it's just like... Man, like,
Mom doesn't love you.
against your own mom and just, or your dad, or you learn it from your parents and then you like fight it on, you know, each other as siblings. But it's just like, that's, I think, why, like, at the end, for me, the hardest thing was like Rebecca's mom got involved. It's like, no, this is the worst person. This is who taught her to be this way. Yeah. This is who taught her when you hurt, you lash out, or you try to control someone, or you try to, you know, they're going to react this way, so you say this, so they will react this way, yeah. So you're right.
Like, are you hurt? So what? What about me? Mm-hmm. Like, that's her mom's total attitude throughout her entire life is, what about me?
I hurt too.
Yeah.
But it's one of those hard things that she's not going to trust anyone else at this moment because she feels like she's broken all these bridges. She's burnt everything down. Mm-hmm. And so the only person that she feels that she has left at this moment is her mom. And no matter like what those things are before, mm-hmm. you can see that she's a little bit relieved that mommy called.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because that's her longest and probably most – like her longest and most intimate relationship mm-hmm. that she's had throughout her life is that. You know, she's – probably she's not used to any kind of healthy relationship. That's
mm-hmm. so. No matter how twisted it gets, we always, you know, have a thing for our parents.
What's comfortable? Mm-hmm. Almost, you
know. And that little like, it's not like she called her mom. Her mom called her. So that for her, that's like a huge. Like, oh my god! Mm-hmm. Like she's there for me. But yeah, just looking from the outside, you're like, no. This is gonna crash and burn, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Or is it? I don't know.
Following the event that it follows, though, it's kind of like.
Something's better than nothing.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
She needs to reach out to somebody. She is imploding like throughout this entire episode more and more and more.
Yeah.
I mean, she's exploding, but at the same time she's imploding. And so if she just needed somebody in that moment. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she really was going to just drive till she ran out of gas.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we find her in a youth hostel.
Yeah.
With Jarl.
Jarl.
That was a fun scene because all the previews they show her in there or like, you know, before the episode dropped. And I kept looking at it. And I'm like, did she go to a mental institution? And that was like my thing because of the way the beds were, like the bunk beds. But they kind of look like camp beds. So it's just like she's either in a camp. She snuck into a summer camp with children. And she's unsafe for everyone because she's reliving the Josh thing. Or she's in a mental hospital. And the youth hostel was a very smart move that I did not see coming.
Yeah.
Because that's a very safe place for her in the end. Like,
And like she befriends, again, like befriending a stranger. Here she has another stranger.
She gives all her information to.
Yes. You're right, Jarl. Oh, you came here to like find all the American Danish stars? To West Covina? You're right. I need to like drown Josh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Swim fan.
Just like swim fan.
Go full Christensen.
Yeah.
And I like how Jarl's like, this feels fast.
At first, he's totally cool with it. And then, when he realizes that she's going way over the overboard. Then
and you have the anger of a much taller woman.
Yes.
I'm 7 feet down? Tall, I did. Jarl.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I wrote my notes this week on a napkin.
Hey.
I'm holding it up. It's basically got youth hostel, swim fan, murder. You have the anger of a much taller woman. 7 feet tall, smiley face. And then look a little more.
Oh, yeah.
Like two more. Oh, I guess when we get to the song, because that goes into the song right after that conversation, right?
She was so good in Swim Fan. I know, right?
Yeah.
I watched it like 8 times in the last 2 weeks.
And then the director's cut gave more swimming.
With 20% more swimming? Yeah.
So good. Which I've seen that movie maybe on VH1, maybe.
Yeah, I think I've only watched it on TV.
I've never seen it.
A couple times.
I've seen it once. I don't remember much of it.
It was important teen watching for my particular age group, I think.
Nice.
But in this
movie. For people who weren't me, I didn't find it important.
The movie that she creates.
I find it really interesting. Everything's by Bunch except for it's written by Josh Chan because he's responsible for all this.
Amazing. And the movie's called Swim Chan. Which is the best.
Scary, scary, sexy lady. I'm a scary, sexy lady.
The direction of this like goes straight like to TV movie, like
the title sequence is kind of like a Bond film meets like some kind of a teenage terror film or teenage like a teenage drama. Mm-hmm. It's like Bond teenage drama.
A little bit of Lifetime, but maybe that's just me.
I can see why Rachel Bloom said that this was one of her favorite episodes.
Oh yeah,
I think she said it somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm like this would have been so much fun to film because there's just so many elements to it.
Yeah, and then there'd be even like we've wanted to write this episode forever, and you could see it because you come up with this idea like okay it's a deconstruction of the term crazy ex-girlfriend in which like and I want to do that, and then I also want to do like a spoof of the Nanny theme song, because I remember that being in a lot of the interviews, because that's funny and cool. But also, I want her to go straight up crazy and try to, like, kill him in a murder, like, murder mystery. And this is, it's very that Showtime feel. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Ooh.
And we get those credits in lieu of the regular credits.
Yeah.
We do. And I didn't write down enough of those. What did I? I feel like there was one about, like, best boy. Sven.
Yeah, it was Jarl, the
Jarl,
Danish guy.
The Danish guy. Worst boy, Josh Chan. Not one of those is a film term. I won't tell you which one. If you don't know, you're not part of the club, guys.
Yeah.
There was, a stylist, the woman whoever does Rihanna, because oh my God.
Yeah. are there any more good ones? I should have written these down.
And I think my first viewing, I was like, what the hell is an oxygen tank doing in these credits?
Oh, no.
Yeah. A lot of great little Easter eggs.
So do we think Greg's dad died?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I brought that up.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Let's just go to the chase. Do we think he died after having sex with his son's ex-girlfriend?
He looked happy and he wasn't moving, that's for sure.
There was an accident chain.
There was an accident chain on the other side of the room.
Somebody had to die in this episode, right? Like, I mean, that was the whole point of...
Well, then she killed someone.
Yeah.
I kind of hope so.
And that's how these sex horror films end up going, right?
Is the, like, really dark part of me.
Somebody dies from the woman's sex, right?
Oh, it would be an incredible plot complication, because then... It comes like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, he just had sex. Who did he have sex with? Did this, you know, and then it comes out. Yeah. It has to come out.
The only person that would know would be the bartender. Greg is sober, so he's not going to go to that bar anymore unless he relapses during the funeral.
Hey.
But, like, it's one of those, too. It's, like, it's such a big secret. Like, it can only go to someone's grave.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting when they talked about Greg, too, because... his dad was talking about Greg, and he's like, yeah, he's doing really good. He's content. And then he goes to, he's happy. And I'm like, it makes me wonder, how is Greg really doing?
Yeah, I didn't think it was. Someone was like, oh, but he found love. I was like, no, he didn't.
No, because
I don't
think
he did. I think that was a dad lie.
Yes, because dad would have been like, he's madly in love right now, as opposed to being like, oh, I need to work my way up to it.
Mm-hmm. It felt like such a dad lie. Like, oh, leave him alone. Mm-hmm. He's happy now.
Yep.
He's seeing this girl. She's great.
What's her first name? What's her last name? In case it's common, what's her middle name?
She's the best at stalking, so.
Oh, she is. She's so good at it. She is a scary... She's a scary, scary, sexy lady. Yeah, with a skirt made of murder and a trench coat made of pain. Yeah, and she's here to chop your penis off.
That's right, and that's where they cut it.
Chop your penis off.
So like, okay, someone's going to lose a penis in this.
Yeah, well, if Marco died, technically he lost the use of his penis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't think that it's still stuck? Like when she finished up?
4 hour erection.
Never mind.
More than 4 hour erection.
My God.
Oh,
maybe that's how he died.
Oh, yeah, we talked about rigor mortis.
Okay,
too.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that.
Ooh. It makes me just think of Clerks. You remember where, like, the girl banged the dead guy in the bathroom?
That's why I can laugh about it, right? It was so natural on Clerks. It was so normal.
It was, except it, like, made a woman kind of go quietly insane.
As
it would do. Yeah, it's a little on the traumatic side.
You really wouldn't come back from that. So, like, it's one of those...
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they can't write that in, because you can't come back from that.
You can't. Like, there's no, like...
But this show is so dark.
Oh, my God. I also, like... So, they show up at, like, Josh's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we hear about Bridget Washburn, and Josh's mom is like, and I told her she can't talk because her daughter is a whore.
Wait, I don't remember this at all.
Oh yeah. During dinner.
Okay, I remember dinner.
Mm-hmm. Nice family dinner.
Uh-huh.
Lourdes
says this about.
Yeah, because I guess Bridget brought up Josh or whatever.
Yeah.
And
Lourdes was like, hey, yeah, he's out of the priesthood, but you can't talk because your daughter's a whore. And she's like, well, no, her daughter's an escort. Real, yeah. It's a perfectly legitimate.
No shame.
She has a house.
She no paid shame for that. Like surgery for her mom. Yeah,
quadruple bypass.
That's right. Okay, yeah. It's coming Rachel, back. It's coming back.
Rachel Bloom is
gastric bypass.
Gastric bypass. Yeah, gastric bypass. Rachel Bloom is very pro sex worker, as she's made known in a lot of interviews with her.
That's awesome.
That I've watched.
Well, it's like this idea of like, I really like that Rachel Bloom is against the whole slut shaming. You know, like she's like, no, you're going to bang or look, this is the way you make your money. Whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, as long as it's not sex trafficking, which, you know, as long as Paula put a tracker in your shoulder, you're fine.
Yeah. She kind of had a good point.
It's just a little boop.
It might actually be nice to be tracked if I ever gets lost or stolen.
It can be like a friendship thing. Instead of friendship bracelets, from now on you'll have friendship trackers. You guys, Blood Brothers, 1, 2, 3, tracker, boop!
I'm glad this came up because everybody in here already has one.
Oh, wow. Aww.
You're welcome.
I feel a little good about it.
Oh, my goodness.
So after they talk about Bridget's daughter, Josh brings up that he wants to make more mature decisions.
Yes.
And he's asked for his job back, and he's going to ask for a raise.
Because that's what you do. When you run out on your job, you ask for a raise.
I love that he's talking to them about how he thinks that Rebecca and him just need some space. And his dad's like, I think that's very wise. And then he immediately can like just
says the least.
Yeah. Reminds us all that he's still a dumbass.
I have
I'm
that clip.
I'm going to ask my job back.
Two clips I pulled. It is Josh. Well, it finishes off the scene too. So if you want to talk, set it up.
Well, what we haven't mentioned though too is during this, Rebecca's running around in the backyard like doing little like horror things here. And then she hits the window with a plant at one point.
Yep.
And she's got the before, like, right at the beginning of dinner, she pops up in the backyard holding up two thumbs with this goofy smile on her face. And it's a great, like, comic-like personality that's also going to be, a horror killer kind of character. Like, it's a nice blend of the
comic. She hasn't lost her character in becoming a crazy murderer.
Yes! I'm so quirky and lovable, guys!
Yeah.
So this is that clip.
This morning, I called Alex, asked him for my job back. He said okay, and when I get there, I'm going to ask for that raise I deserve.
Disappear and ask for a raise. Seems like a good plan.
Thanks, Dad. I want to focus on my future right now. All the good things ahead of me. Oh my God, what was that?
Joseph, I've been telling you to get that jacaranda trimmed. Slapping the window again.
Oh God, I thought that was... That was like out of a scary movie or something.
That's right. Laugh it off, Channy boy. I'm coming for you.
Oh, that laugh is great.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, man.
And she has the best crazy eyes during this whole episode.
Yeah.
One where it's lit like half, like there's a shadow on like half of the inside of her eye on the far side. It's like the creepiest thing I've ever seen. So now that's in my head forever. I'm like, if I ever have to direct a scene in which someone looks insane, put a shadow on the wrong side of their eye.
Hashtag creepy eye.
Oh, God. It's so beautiful. That's gonna maybe be my screenshot.
You know what's also beautiful? The way that Paula describes female friendship. She's like, yeah, we were trying to sabotage you, but then we weren't because they're trying to like find Rebecca. And then she's like, and female friendship is very strange.
That's, I think, accurate.
Yeah, no, it's great.
If there's one person you could get away with that with, it's Valencia because never had girlfriends. Yeah. So,
I don't think any of those women in that group.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. None of them.
And it's one of those things that Paula was very honest about. She's like, look, yeah, okay, here's some things I want to tell you about him. But also, like, I never thought we'd be friends. Like, I wouldn't have done this if I ever thought in a million years we'd be friends. But I hated girls like you in high school. So, surprise.
And I liked hearing her say, too, like, we are friends. That was cute.
Yeah. She told her, I love you. I know Rebecca loves you.
Yeah.
And stop complaining.
Yes!
I understand. Like, this is happening as they're walking down the street looking for Rebecca. So it's not the best timing for this information.
No.
I understand Valencia's frustration. Because this scene starts with her kind of... getting back kind of more her habitual defensive mode. Like,
the whole Yanker Pony, let's go pray. Yeah. Like, she went cray. I would like.
She did just get attacked, like verbally.
They're all vulnerable
right now. So, yeah.
But that woman has a cute wardrobe, like Valencia. Mm. I love the way she dresses. I'm just like, you really found her sense of style. It's really great.
I like her hair right now. It's so cute.
Yeah.
I like how Hector dresses.
See in our next scene.
Yeah.
Because he's walking down the street, too.
With Heather.
Yeah. Well, we had the quick.
We go back to the backyard. Three.
Yeah, okay. The baby thing.
Quick baby thing. And then then Hector finally can't take it anymore. Right?
No, we're at Josh's bedroom.
Oh, there was also the landline thing.
Oh, yeah, the real landline. That's a good, creepy move. I like all the details that, like, really age them to this very specific age that, like, is between, you know, landlines and cell phones and, like, having the internet, like, after you've been to summer camp. Like, all of us in the room lived that. So it's very, I don't know, nostalgic in a way that you don't get when you read, like, 90s babies memes.
Yeah. Which,
like, I mean, also none of us are that, but none of us were born in the 90s. But, yeah, it's just very specific and nice and, like, it's a genre. I don't want to say it's a genre because it's a time period people lived in. But I remember trying to write comic books in that era, that like 2001 era, like what, you know, comic books about that era and people in high school in that era. And it's the hardest thing.
Too much? Like too much to have to take into consideration?
Well, it's just like things don't make sense anymore. Like, I remember I did like – there's like a one I did where it's like three pages of like that funny weird banter you get from when you call someone's house and like how weird that is to like talk to their parents and stuff.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Jones.
Is Danny there?
Yeah, and it's just like all that could be cut out now. And, like, it's just all the funniness of it is gone or very, like, specifically nostalgic for, like, the five people in this room.
Yeah.
So.
Mom, get off the phone!
Don't you listen.
Can somebody disconnect from the internet? I gotta make a call.
Yeah. You've been playing Doom for 6 hours. Let me use the phone.
Honey, your phone call needs to end because Mommy needs to call so-and-so.
Or couldn't you just pick up the phone and it would boot him from the internet? I think I used to do that sometimes.
I think if you did it enough.
I'm a bit older. So back when I was in high school, there was like BBSs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even like the internet.
Yeah, it was like the one or two. You would have the addresses, right? You would go to straight to?
I didn't dial up into that. My boyfriend did.
Okay.
I was aware of the existence of like these bulletin board things, but I didn't use them too much myself. But... yeah, I didn't really encounter the internet till college.
Nice.
But yeah, this landline. He got it on his 13th birthday. Mm-hmm. He still has it. His parents are still paying.
Oh my, which is crazy.
And if there's anything that he would have, it would be a boob phone.
It'd be a boob phone.
Oh my God.
A red bikini.
A sparkly boob.
Yes. Yeah.
And
Jessica Rabbit's torso.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't think Rebecca looked this up. I think she remembered it from when they went to camp.
Yeah.
You're right. She would.
She totally would. Yeah. Mm. She has a tattooed on the inside of her arm.
No, it's in her brain. It's tattooed in her brain.
It's under my tongue, you guys. I tattooed it under my tongue.
Oh.
But he's got drawings on his walls and... like it's not like a 26-year-old's bedroom at all. Like,
no, it is his childhood bedroom, but it's like had no updates at all.
Yeah,
like no come home from college. Like I'm embarrassed by myself. Updates.
There's not even like girls in bikinis. Like it's I guess the boob phone.
The boob phone,
but
hamburger boob phone. I don't know. It's like a nice mix of the two shapes. But
yeah, that's a good point. If that was his childhood room and he was in that room until he was 18 or longer, how did he still had all these like childish drawings on his walls instead of like updating it to you know
to boobs
or you know a corn poster or something.
Yeah, corn.
I don't know.
I was gonna say a cork board. He's not that organized, but I always thought those were cool, but again I'm kind of a nerd, so
We almost got a cork board.
Great. With a whiteboard on the other side?
Oh, yeah.
We got the whiteboard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the way to go.
nice like 3x4 whiteboard, something like that. That all kinds of outlining happened on that.
So yeah. I think it's funny when they're like doing the walk down. They bring back both Susie Reynolds and Angie Washburn. You remember that?
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Hector's talking about it, like Susie Reynolds like got drunk on Sambuca, but then it's okay because she's a senator now. and then Angie Washburn is the one. Washburn is the Washburn daughter.
Yeah, that Lotus was talking about at dinner. Yeah,
but I think, who's the first one?
Susie Reynolds.
Susie Reynolds was the one who ate part of the Lunchables that Valencia threw away.
And was homeless.
Okay. All right.
Man, your notes are so good. Yeah. I'm so jealous.
Well, this, I think, was season one or two.
Yeah, no, it goes far back.
And Bridget Washburn's daughter. Sorry, I was like, what's the woman's name? But yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of fun that we get to have these people back.
And they all have such little a deep callbacks. Interpersonal life.
Oh, back to the boob phone.
Yeah.
He gets a call on it. There's heavy breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy. It's all scary and stuff. And then we see Rebecca. Well, I guess he goes out. Josh goes outside to investigate. I don't know. Cut me off if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This might have been the part where he yells out the window. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's like with the bear later. I think there's a later scene with the bear.
So at this point, she's shuffling around dressed as a bush in the backyard.
Yes. He goes outside to investigate. There's a swing. It swings like
of its own volition. So funny. And then he's a pool, so he's like looking at the pool. It's very swim fan. Oh my god!
I like that they're setting you up to like expect things too. Like when he goes out there and he stands by the pool, it's like, is she gonna drown him? Is she gonna push him in? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen. Instead, she's doing like really innocent, goofy
things.
Yeah,
she runs
like,
back out to push the swing again.
Yeah.
So it squeaks again.
It's great. Like the comedy.
And she's
that they
wearing
get.
A bush outfit.
Yeah.
Oh yes, with her like phone just lit, so that it makes the light.
She's disguised as a bush.
Yeah, I love that they derive comedy from taking into consideration what a killer would have to do in a horror movie to make these things happen in somebody's yard. Like,
and that's where the comedy comes from.
Yeah, yeah. Like you see these horror movies and there's just a ghost swing. Mm-hmm. You know, how did that happen? Why is it swinging? But in this, we get to see her run over there and push it, which is what
she
a killer would have had to do.
Every time. I think that's the most delightful part is like she's just, this is what she needed this whole time. She didn't need to go yell at Josh. I mean, I guess she did, but... She could have just scared him, like, the joy in her. I don't know. If you could back up a few of the things that went wrong, maybe go back to, like, I don't know, let's kill his grandpa, and then be like, no, don't kill him. I'm going to go in his, like, backyard and, like, push a swing and giggle. She would have been satisfied. No one would have gotten hurt. They could have still had their lawsuit.
How many times do you think she pooped in the backyard while she was back there?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Probably. He's like, wait, we don't have a dog? Rebecca!
I feel like her mental state has gone beyond that briefly, momentarily.
Oh, yeah. She didn't mention poop at all.
Yeah, there's
episode.
Been no poop this episode.
Whoa.
Just scary, sexy...
Lady.
She's gone up a little in age for a moment.
Yeah, she just made movies in her head now. Mm-hmm. Her songs are now movies.
They've gone to the next stage.
She has a whole production crew now in her head, where before it was just her. She's a musician.
No, she had that one where they were all hired in for her season two theme song.
Oh, but there weren't credits on that.
That's true.
This came with credits.
Lots of good credits. It's another good screen cap I want.
So now can we talk about the walk?
Yeah.
So then we hear them calling Rebecca, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we see a flashlight kind of go across her face and
then
out to the street where they're looking for her, right?
And it's Daryl, White Josh, and Hector.
Yep. Dream team.
And so then Hector leaves because he's like, this is a little awkward.
This is not a dream team.
I want to talk about him for a bit.
Yeah, let's talk about Hector.
Doesn't have to be there. Like, Daryl is Rebecca's friend. White Josh is there because he's dating Daryl. But Hector either he has nothing to do or there's some kind of kindness going on.
Aww.
It was his mom's bowling night.
He's real bored.
His mom's on a date.
No. It's too late to serve. Mom's on a date.
Well, really what comes up, I think, is White Josh
says he needed like a buffer. Like it sounded like he kind of asked Hector to come along
because he was a buffer.
Yeah, he didn't want to be alone with Daryl and have to have the uncomfortable conversation with him that has been coming up over and over again.
You know what? Did it come up between Daryl getting his heart broken, like truth shoved in his face? It probably did.
Well, at this point, Daryl says, and Rebecca said the craziest thing. That you didn't want to have a baby, and they both. Hector and White Josh look like.
You know what I just hear during that moment? Spanish, 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 Spanish.
Groupang.
It was a groupang.
Sicily.
So yeah, even if White Josh didn't ask Hector there for that purpose, like that's his purpose now
to be the buffer.
Yes, and he's not having it.
He tries to walk away, and then, but you can't go yet, Hector. You're a great, what's he say? You're great at search parties.
Ain't no party like a Hector search party. Yeah. And then we cut just briefly to George at Nathaniel's. Well, George with Nathaniel, but I think, what, are they still at Bunch's place, or are they at Nathaniel's place?
Yeah, they're in.
They're at Rebecca's.
They're at Rebecca's.
Yeah.
They hang out there all night.
A brief moment where I thought that was Rebecca's old apartment, and George had moved into her old apartment. And I was like, wait, everything's connected. And then I just realized, like, no, they – because I thought she was crazy enough to install the same mural, like, in two different apartments.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I just assumed the first apartment was furnished, and she would have left all her furniture there. None of this is actually true or how things work, but I was like, yeah, George, that's amazing. George has Rebecca's old apartment, and he's got a girl. Well, yeah, George has a girlfriend. He's on a date.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel was crashing, and I just assumed he showed up at George's house, which was Rebecca's old house. But no, he brought George to Rebecca's house.
Yeah.
That's cool to do your coworkers.
And then the date's like, we're going to miss our lava cake. Mm-hmm. And Nathaniel's like, oh, yeah, the lava cake. Sorry I interrupted your date that you're going to pay for dinner with the money I give you every week.
Which is a total dick thing to say. I hate that.
He's a dick.
A boss or a parent says that.
A boss tries to manipulate you like that.
I give you your livelihood.
Yeah,
George.
Right. You buy my time.
Hmm. Well, like, if they open that scene too, it's like a one-on-one. Nathaniel like kind of breaking it down with George, and George is like, "Okay, I kind of regret that we got so involved." And then it like zooms out, and then you see the girl, and you're like, "Oh yeah, you really regret it." Your life is taken over by crazy.
I don't want the lava cake. Well, I want the lava cake. Me too.
Lava cake is good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and lava cake is awesome. But then we go back then to the road, and Heather's like, I'm not even looking because you can't help someone. you can't fix someone who doesn't want to be helped.
So true.
But she's swinging the light. So Velma. And then Hector's like, I'm totally a Shaggy.
I'm a total Shaggy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You totally are. And then, And then the romance is sparked. Mm-hmm.
There is a scary noise.
Yeah, Rebecca helps it.
Put your strong arm back around me, or your fancy your smooth arm.
Oh my God, do you depilate?
What is that? That's one I don't know.
I looked that up. Well, I explained it to you wrong, but it's just hair removal.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So
there's not a specific method. I thought there was a specific method.
I love how earnest he is about it too. Like, no, I don't. He has a really normal conversation with her about it. Like, no, I don't, just naturally smooth. Great for surfing.
I do shave the hair around my nipples. So.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
That would make sense.
And I love, we skipped over his conversation when he was still with Daryl and White Josh. He was talking about his uncle who they had to have an intervention for. And then got addicted to Hoarders and then started hoarding episodes of Hoarders on his DVR. That whole thing is hilarious and just so ridiculous. It's
such a beautiful tangent, too, because I'm a huge fan of tangents, guys. So thank you for throwing me a bone with Hector, guys.
Well, it's like his parking joke, too. Like parking in the front and the back. I think
they ever did for a girl was let her pull out. No, you mean like parking?
I hope... If those are improvised, that's really good.
Like, I think they just like giving him those long, you know, run tangent things.
Because otherwise he's good at it.
Yeah.
What was it? I've watched improvised scenes from them. Oh, okay. I don't remember who's done. You know what? It was the grocery clerk with half an eyelid that did a lot of really good improv.
Oh, really?
Grocery clerk with half an eyelid.
Like that whole party, like season one party, is like every interaction with like him and Daryl, I think, was completely improvised. Okay. So
I know Pete Gardner did. He was a big Chicago improviser for a long time.
Yeah. You know, he probably improvised a lot too. I don't know. It's hard to say because the writing is so solid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's well, I don't. Do you guys watch the show Difficult People?
I've seen
a few episodes.
Twice.
Yeah,
okay. I need to see it more.
I love that show. I love
the episodes I've seen were great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The main writer creator on that is Julie Klausner, who's a comedian.
She's
I love
star,
forever.
Right?
She's the star. She's the producer. Yeah. Writed it. Yeah, she wrote it. She writed it. I love her. Like she was like in my top eight on MySpace. Loved her. Like
really?
I go way back. Yeah, and then like I read a book by her, and she like specifically created a MySpace to become a comedian, and it worked out for her, and she's become a comedian.
No,
so it's just like she had like, you know, a career change.
I'm
for
going
it.
Back to MySpace. Back,
yeah, exactly. MySpace is all around. You will become famous if you stick with it. But everyone, I mean, she like it's hard with her because she's got that other strong comedian co-starring with her, Billy Eichner.
Yeah.
So everyone's always like, oh, you're the co-creator, the co-producer. She's like, no, I am the producer. I'm the person
Billy
that did
Eichner
the show.
Billy Eichner's such a strong personality that you can't.
Yeah,
like,
she's like,
get
I hired
that.
Him. This was my show. So she's always correcting
like,
people
no,
on that.
You mean that you like begged Billy Eichner to do it with? Like,
you're friends. And then the other thing she's always correcting people on is they've got this running gag where the boyfriend of the character on the show always has these really good nicknames for her. Like, I don't know, pita salad or something. Hummus biscuit. I don't know. They're cuter. They're way cuter than that. But everyone's always like, oh my God, those are like the best improvised bits. She's like, no, we write those.
Wow.
We are good writers and we write those. So,
good.
I don't know.
Get your credit.
Yeah, get your credit. So when I'm like, oh, are those improvised? Like, I don't know. Like, they're strong writers. Like, maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's one or the other.
Yeah.
I want to give everyone the right amount of credit for exactly what they do.
Yeah.
For everything I love.
It's all about the.
Yeah. I love a lot of things.
Good.
I don't know. That's why, like, whenever I think about this podcast, I'm just like, it's just me and my friends being like, this show's great.
Yeah.
This is super good. This is so good. This is super fun.
We wanted to have
I
a talk
this.
About it, and we wanted people to hear us talk
These
about it.
These people are so smart. They're so good. They're so smart. I mean, I'm glad we get to say that for like 20, 40 hours, whatever, but. When I actually think about it, I'm like, what the hell are we doing? it's fine.
I've listened to some episodes.
They're good. Yeah, we're fine.
We're enriching the digital space. All right.
Well, the way I came to terms with it later was I was just like, there's so many stupid, like, male-dominated shows like this.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of those men go home and are like, oh, I said I love Superman way too much. It was just like, he's so good and he's just like the strongest. And I love what he does good in the world. I just don't think like.
Was I too vulnerable with my love for Superman?
Maybe I should have been a little more academic in like describing his motivations.
The philosophy behind it.
And the writing behind it. Because it's really strong. I don't want to just say I love it like it's unfounded. But stupid. Of course, I'd go on a tangent after saying I love tangents.
I don't know how many. Like, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. Nice segue like, for yourself.
It was such a stupid. It's like a magic spell that came out of my mouth and it just like. It was cursed.
I probably have like an unusual number of insecurities, but like I can't like. They're. I don't know. I don't know if those guys have that much insecurity to where they would like reflect back and be like, "Man, I think I talked about that too much." I did, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I know I do. I mean, like I'm, you know, I will question and try to like analyze everything,
and that comes from like being a writer too. Like that's like, did I say it in the most clear, interesting way?
Yeah.
that I use the right combination of words and the right sequence
for
that to sound the best that it could sound.
I also always feel really bad when I say, like, I love saying, like, we open the show and I'm like, she got crazy. Like, she went straight up crazy, guys. And, like, I know it's a joke. I know it's funny, but I don't know. Like, just because
you're
the show.
You're going to reflect
just
on that?
Because like, right now in the middle like of the that? Show. No, it's just like. Every time I say it, I know I'm being funny about it, but this show's a deconstruction on the word crazy, so maybe I shouldn't keep using the word crazy in a non-smart way. A non-woke way, guys.
Yep. Yeah. You have an obligation,
guys. I should be less fun, guys. Yeah. God damn.
You should be more academic than the show.
No, we need
you should be more
formal. We don't need another voice like mine. You can let me be the non-fun one.
I was going to say, speaking of which, were they walking down the road more? I don't know where we're
well,
at.
Well, okay, we're at
we're back
Josh's,
at Jarl's.
We're at Josh's bedroom.
She didn't go back to Jarl's real quick?
Not yet.
Not yet, after this. Ah. She's at Josh's we're at Josh's bedroom. He finds a bear in the closet hanging on it from a noose.
Oh, the noose, that's right.
Is it a noose Joshy or Chan. Is it his gi belt? Like his
Well, it's an improvised noose.
It's an improvised noose. She did what she could. She had a smaller neck to fit. Rope doesn't do the job.
He's not very heavy, so he probably would have been fine.
Sorry, I didn't mean I never mind.
It was symbolism.
He screams out the window, you can't get to me, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not afraid of you.
And like the weakest voice that he can muster. It's like this high-pitched kind of like kid's voice.
Get out of my way.
Everybody is doing such a great job acting in this.
Yeah, they are. They're all, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Spectacular.
But then we get back. Now we get back to Jarl, and Rebecca's trying to wake him up. Mm-hmm. And Jarl's like, I have to go to the Ultra Museum of American West. And she's like, just a bunch of Roy Rogers. You don't need that. Whatever.
You mean Gene Autry? Who cares?
And she's like, you guys, I'm going to reenact every revenge movie ever made. And then he's like, well, what's going to happen afterwards? She's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you die.
Yeah.
The monster has to be killed.
Yeah. So, they're always a moral
tale.
Take
the same notes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I like that he's like, once you start this Skagit E. Pocassin, you have a beard in your mailbox, which means you get caught. And she's like, no, I'm independently financed.
Yes. I'm independently financed in my own mind.
It's fine.
And then, like, Jarl brings up a good point because she's like, no, I want Josh to feel like what I felt my whole life. And Jarl's like, wait. So you felt unhappy before him?
Yeah,
so how is this his
just
fault?
A great point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's like, well, it's because he rubbed it in my face. And Jarl's like, so it's not really about Josh per se. Josh is more a symbol of effortless normalcy from which you've always felt excluded.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my last note because it's that best quote.
She's like, no, you're not making any sense. It's about Josh.
But your English is fantastic. Well done, Danish school. And then, like, Heather, we get back then to the friends who are looking. And Heather's like, you know, maybe she's at the outlets because that's where I'd go if I turned on all my friends.
I'm a real outlet girl.
And it's the morning and they've been walking
all night.
Yeah. And then, Paula's like, do you think I'm a bad mom? And then Heather and Valencia,
I did grab that clip, but Jess isn't in the room to play it.
Okay, so we'll hold on the clip, but we'll get there.
We'll go back to it.
And then
there's more to stuff to. We can discuss Paula's shoes in here.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I don't buy them. I don't think she would have worn those.
She walks back in the door after walking all night. She's wearing these like really tall high heels.
Like they're like 3 or 4 inches.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
did she have a bag? Maybe she did the whole slipsy thing where, you know, like you put your nice shoes on at the end of the night. You're like, oh, I walked in these all night. Or she has them like in a little box by her by the front of her house so that she can walk in and out of the house in fancy shoes. They're like her shoe slippers.
Yes. Instead of slippers, you wear high heels around the house.
I don't know. I'm just making
look
stuff
fancy.
Up.
Yeah. Indoors only.
And then we also find out that Brendan is Valencia's weed guy. He's starting a business? That's great. What? That's not the right response?
I love Paula. That is the right response, Paula.
Yeah.
You are a good mom. Oh, and then, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
So then we find out that they're definitely at Heather's, actually. So Paula must have a shoebox at Heather's place.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nathaniel's like, can you keep it down? Penny and George are asleep. They're so beat.
Whose room were they asleep in is my question.
I don't know.
That's the messed up
was
part.
It Heather's room? I think it was Heather's room.
It was probably Heather's room because I think he slept in Rebecca's room.
Yeah, her bed with her weird alligator.
He made them sleep in the closet. He just opened up the door and he's like, get on the floor.
Peasants.
Was that, okay, was that her alligator or was he back at home by that point?
Maybe he keeps it in the car.
I liked thinking that he would have an alligator body pillow.
I do like thinking that because he's a mean, cold, hard-blooded person.
An ancient lizard.
Well, what was weird about that bed is it was very small. It was like a twin-size bed. Yeah. And I don't think either of them have small beds because they seem like sex monsters.
So he got bumped to the guest room.
So maybe he was in the guest room.
Yeah, so the other two slept in Rebecca's bed because there he is plotting. And he's like, man, I have to go in the other bed. I better get my emergency stuffed animal out of my trunk.
I don't want to my car. Actually, he went to Costco that morning.
Oh, he went to the zoo really quick. He was like, I just need to go to the zoo.
Oh, my God.
Grab myself an animal, and then I'll be on my way.
That's probably exactly where it came from. He had it this whole time the zoo when he felt sad the first time.
You know what? He actually knows the night guard. He had the night guard bring it at the end of his shift. He was like, this is what I need from you. I got a few hundies waiting. Give me...
Money's no object for that.
Money's no object.
Alligator.
Yeah, and he's like, do you have an aquarium stuffed animal? And he's like, no. And he's like, do you have any fish? And he's like, no. And then he's like, do you have a kangaroo?
Is good. Those are all too soft and cuddly. An alligator is great because it's cold and mean.
Well, that was the conversation the two of them had. It was on the phone. He called
instead
of texting.
You like this crazy woman who has been accused of arson and stalking? You need... an alligator. Because she sounds cold and emotionally unavailable, just like an alligator.
Oh, and you're going to be the alligator because you're going to sit there with your mouth open and just wait for her to come back so you can snap. You channel the alligator. You are the alligator.
Be one with the alligator.
Be one with the alligator with less sharp teeth because your mouth doesn't hinge like that. But yeah, so he stayed because he's like, Rebecca might come back at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay.
I'm impressed. The bed thing. He gave up a queen-size bed, presumably, for this couple.
Aww.
Yeah, for...
And even if it was just they fell asleep, he didn't push them out of the bed. So, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
He's a saint.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. I think he just doesn't want to show he's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a little hurt puppy inside, but... Yeah. He's been trained not to show it.
Yeah.
So
guess who's emotionally stunted?
I was being sarcastic when I was saying this.
He says he's never had feelings before, but I think he's had a lot of feelings all the time.
Yeah. He's just pushed them way down.
Well, he's been taught his whole life their weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You don't express that. You swallow them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Push down, way down.
Nice and dark.
Who needs feelings? Oh, not you. Who needs feelings?
So from there,
do we want to
go back to the clip?
Yeah.
I like Shannon's reenactment, but
yes, let's hear compare.
Paula. Let's hear the actual. He's got a job now.
Do you guys agree with Rebecca? Do you think I'm a bad mom? Two part harmony, bad. Really?
Truth, you're not the most attentive parent. Brendan's my weed guy.
He's starting a business? That's great! What, not the right response?
We didn't need to hear that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was delightful. And then back to where we're at now, Valencia's going to the doctor because she wants to get the tracker out of her arm.
Mm-hmm.
And Paula's like, but if you get human trafficked, you'd be glad you have it. Why don't you just go and get new batteries?
Not a bad call. And then, it's Heather. Heather.
Yes.
Finds her getaway.
Mm-hmm. She's going to go have breakfast with Hector to distract herself from the fact that Rebecca was right.
Mm-hmm.
She's aimless and has no goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Except to eat breakfast with Hector's sweet ass.
Mm-hmm.
And his sweet, sweet ass.
Sweet, sweet ass.
It's so two nice sweets. We say it twice.
Mm-hmm. He serves. He probably does have a nice
ass.
Oh,
yeah. He seems...
Mm-hmm.
He seems all right.
If you're surfing like that, you got to bounce on a board, and that's a lot of clenching, mm-hmm. which means you got a lot of building up those ass muscles.
Hmm. Ready for a strong woman like Heather.
Yeah. Oh, man. They're going to have some, like, marathon sex.
Mm-hmm. On a surfboard.
Yes.
No, no. He's going to have marathon sex. I feel like she's the lay back and take it type.
You know, but then we saw her dance, and we saw her dance, and she really gets
that's
down.
True. Okay.
So she has a facade of, like,
she's right. taking human
I'm
sexuality.
Cool.
She's, like,
she knows.
She's taking all the classes at community college.
She knows what she likes.
She had Rebecca use Tinder. Yeah. Earlier on.
That's true.
In the first season.
Heather gets down. Heather gets down. Oh, and then we're at Aloha Tech. And this yes. is where Chan Man starts to ask for his raise. And his boss is like, bro, I got to stop you.
Galaxy's coming a mile away.
First, I think you're going to ask for a raise after I graciously Which gave you your job back. Yeah. Second, I got an anonymous tip. And oh my goodness, your locker is full of remotes. Yeah. Yep.
And Josh hears tip, and he
this.
Thinks
yeah.
tip, like gratuity tip.
Wait, yeah. They tip the backroom managers? And then when he finds the remotes in his locker, he finally puts it together. Oh, information
Rebecca,
tip.
Yeah. Rebecca, she's being crazy. She totally hates me. And they're like, nope.
Well, he believes him. Alex is like, maybe I believe you, but still I got to suspend you corporate. You know, they don't like stealing.
It's weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
Oh,
and
then
Oh, in the back.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In the back of the locker is this beautiful note.
There's a note.
Chart thing.
Hi, Josh. Where's your mom? You might want to check. Hope Lords is okay.
And it's in this style of letters cut out from magazines and newspapers.
Mm-hmm. And well done her, because she also cuts out punctuation, which I think is really nice. Like, it says, hi, Josh, and she cuts out a comma.
Mm-hmm. It's well, an important detail.
She's, you know, she's conscientious about she that.
She That's knows right. the definition of histrionics.
She also knows when it should be spiders or spiders.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's very Is it important.
Plural possessive? Is it singular possessive? I don't.
And then it's cool because when we get to the carnival, then Rebecca has like that kind of like subtly almost like deadpan voice that we hear so often in mm-hmm. horror movies right before shit's about to get real,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really great. So you have like Lourdes being all excited and she's like, you know, I'm so excited. I've always loved carnivals. The kids grew out of them, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And then you have Rebecca. I'll never get to be your daughter-in-law. Want to ride the death drum? It's completely dark. Anything can happen in there. You know, like she has that voice. You're like, yes, you're just playing these horror movies. Mm-hmm. So great.
So perfect. Did anyone think there might be a death or no?
Because
it's kind of convincing.
It is a little convincing. Like, but, you know, she said even from the beginning, like, no, I don't want to hurt his family.
I think if you remember that it's a comedy show, like you know that they can't do that.
I mean, maybe. Greg's dad
might be dead.
He might be dead.
But they're
There's
not going to like
20% chance.
Yeah. Yes, but that's not a bad way to go for a man like him.
No, he was going to go anyway.
He's on his way out.
I mean, he was working on it on his own.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, where is he at? Because he sold the house, right?
Oh, he's
so
still,
where was he?
Oh,
he was
in that, retirement community.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay.
Semi-retired. Singles, right?
Okay, up until now, I was like, it's not really rock bottom, but if it's a retirement community, it kind of is.
Oh, man. And you know that all the people in the other rooms are like, yeah, get it, Margo.
Oh, Margo.
Get it.
Oh, and we see Paula and her family at the carnival.
I love
I'm
them.
Still mostly worried about Rebecca, but this is fun. You guys are not too terrible. And Tommy's like, we're a lot better than Rebecca.
She's crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
But she's got good boobs.
Though.
Oh, so yeah, many good
Brandon,
boobs.
Be respectful. Yeah.
Was it plentiful bottom?
Sorry.
No, beautiful breasts.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Sorry. Beautiful breasts. Yeah.
Scott's like holding a turkey leg because, of course, the man has to be awkward even in the food he holds.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Homer Simpson pose.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He is living Homer Simpson.
He is. Dummy.
But I want to talk. Brendan, they brought back the original Brendan, the one that
was. The ominous one.
Yes.
With the blade
the good Brendan. Was like, that's bad advice, Mom.
Yeah. They switched him out
at a certain point.
Yeah,
he was a little more scrawny and kind of like
this guy. The second Brendan wasn't threatening. He kind of looked like a nerd.
Yeah,
looks matter in casting.
And he's
yeah.
He's a pretty Brendan, isn't he?
He's got some pipes.
He's a soprano.
he's gotten prettier. He's legal now, so that's...
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at him as just a pretty fellow, not as someone, you know...
She was going to go after.
He's not going to go after him.
He's going to be that hot internet convict who ends up with like a modeling contract after he... Mm-hmm.
But it's okay.
Mugshot is set around the internet.
Because Tommy's going to get a tattoo of the prison.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. He's good looking, but like I get... like. I'm guessing about 10 years older than you. Like, I get, like, when I notice somebody that young, like, when there's that much of an age difference, I start getting, like, creeped out. I'm like, no, don't look at that. Don't look at that.
Bury that pedophilia.
I don't have... You're about as young as I'll go.
Oh, and so, yeah, Paula's distracted because she sees... Rebecca with Josh's mom, and so then that's when Tommy asks if he can get just a small blueprint of a local prison tattooed, and she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. But then we see Josh, and Josh is coming in, and he's all panicked, and he's like, where is she? Where is my mom?
I love the singular like focus of the cameras too. Like
was nicely done.
Yeah, they use that particular like kind of camera, I don't know what you would call it, gimmick or
the rack focus.
Yeah, just that way of shooting it to make it show like in his world, everything's frantic, he's freaking out, and everybody around him is just totally normal.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on as far as they're concerned. It's a great contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that we're...
they didn't go from like the one to the other yet, but I think it was...
when he's having the conversation, you mean? It's more just that frantic, panicked camera work where the camera's
following his eyes.
His own emotion. Yeah, they do a great job at like framing his personal situation with the camera where like everybody else, and they did it too, like with Rebecca and Lourdes. Rebecca, as far as she's concerned, she's being very like ominous and kind of like, you know, that voice that she's using. And I love the contrast of where like Lourdes is just a normal
person
interaction.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big thing to her.
She's
hanging out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are fun little kind of contrast that you notice between everything around them and what's going on with just those two people.
Well, and then, you know, so with Josh, something that's interesting too is like Rebecca finally got to him, right? Like she finally got to him.
Yeah, she went to his family.
Threatened the family, which is what Nathaniel said right from the beginning, right? Like, if you want to hurt him, go for
his
family.
She finally went there.
And she went there.
Yeah.
But she went there in a way that she could handle. But I like that he's like, you're completely unhinged. And Rebecca's like, hey, I called you 37 times and texted you 84 times. Yeah. And you couldn't have the courtesy of responding.
That's such a loaded statement, too.
I know, because the whole thing, like, if he had just had a frigging conversation with her to begin with, none of the, like, bullshit would have happened.
Yeah, but it's so conflict avoidant that...
Yeah, there's so many, like, if moments. Like, if he hadn't been manipulated into proposing in the first place by her mom...
Yeah. But then I guess you also look at her history with, like, Robert, and he broke it off with her, like, look, I'm sorry, I'm not going to leave my wife. And she, you know, she took it as a huge, terrible rejection, which... And the whole thing is... The sad truth of it is the whole thing is kind of... Well, hatred for men might be kind of strong, but it's all based on the fact that her dad left when she was younger, and so she still
has no explanation.
This, and so when it happens over and over and over again, she gets to this place of like extreme emotional kind of.
You have to tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until you tell me why, we are not okay.
Yeah,
and it's on its base level, like it's that many phone calls, that many text messages. Of course, it's obnoxious and it's terrible.
Look at my face. Well, look at my face.
Yeah, her
Josh.
Phone calls were hilarious.
Yeah, that was so
the
good.
Way that they
I want that to be my new ringtone. Look at my face. Answer for my face. But no, like as horrible as that is, like Josh is doing the one thing that's going to trigger that to be worse.
That's escalating it.
And that's, I mean, I don't know. It's like you can't.
Like, what's who, that? Not giving her an explanation.
But yeah, it shows how yeah. bad they were for
but
each other.
But even when she got explanation, like, I mean, that Robert guy, like, his explanation was, "I've got a wife. I'm not going to leave her," which is horrible. Oh no, it's dumb. It's horrible. It's horrible that he was even involved with her in the begin with to begin with. But like. It almost seems – I mean, is this psychological condition so deeply ingrained that any time any man that she's with tries to leave her, it's going to like tilt her emotionally to a point where she has a complete meltdown.
But
this person hates me. I'm what's wrong. Yeah.
But like with Robert, he didn't give an explanation because, he's married, but he's still he was sleeping with her when he was married. Yeah. So that's not an explanation.
Yeah.
It's a cop out.
Well,
and she can sniff it that it's a cop out.
Yeah. That whole thing was terrible and wrong.
Well, but he didn't give a reason.
Yeah.
Like he gave a cop out, and the same with Josh. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that she hates the most. Like, don't cop me out. You got to tell me what the reason is.
Yeah.
Even if it's just I am uncomfortable and I'm not ready and I can't do this.
Yeah.
Look, you're a great person. I feel like I'm not compatible with you. I don't know. Like,
I think you have to be blunt honesty. Like, look, there's a lot of red flags that are happening. Mm-hmm. And I just can't do this. And I just got out of a serious relationship.
Then again, like there was a whole thing where like her dad's asking for money and she's just like, I'm a terrible, you know, here's all these birthday cards or whatever. He's like, I don't know where I was going with this.
Well, she's always going to blame herself.
Yeah.
No matter what, she's always going to blame herself.
Yeah.
Even if the guy, like, I don't know what it would take except, I don't know what it would take. I mean, I'm not a psychological professional. I can't, unravel this.
Well,
but it's so deeply ingrained in her that she's the problem and she's the one who drives all these people away.
She has to realize she's as responsible for her reactions as people are for their own actions towards her.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At this point, she's just reacting to how other people treat her, and she's not taking any responsibility for her own reactions, which is
and with Josh
the
and Rebecca, they're both doing that. They're both saying, this isn't my fault, you know? And, like, to have both people be like, this isn't my fault leads to someone, like, falling almost down a cliff or down
into
pit.
Some kind of weird,
a janky-ass carnival bowl.
So whatever would be required for Rebecca to have closure – and
nothing.
She's probably not. Josh is not doing anything.
No, he's not even trying a little.
He's not even trying a little.
Not even a smidge.
Yeah, he's completely avoidant.
And so now all he does is he's like, damn it, Rebecca. And he finds out that his mom is okay.
Maybe my family will know him. Peace out.
If you ever get near me or anyone I care about ever again, I'm calling the police.
Okay, great.
I like that they had to go for the realistic thing, though, because, like, a movie would have been like, you know, I'll kill you or something like that.
I'll get my own revenge.
That extreme,
But the police
I'll call the police.
But then Rebecca has such an honest moment when she's like, you can't do this. I don't know who I am if you're not in my life anymore.
Yeah. That's so sad. You can feel, like, I can feel her isolation when she says that. It's so sad because, like, she, you know. To her, she's shut everybody out. Her friends are still looking for her, and they're going to be there when she gets back. She doesn't know that right now. She thinks that she's successfully alienated herself from everybody like she does because of her condition.
You've ruined everything, you stupid bitch.
But you can feel that, like, that total sense of, like, I have nobody to like, kind of, just compare and contrast
myself.
No
identity
to.
At all.
Yeah.
I'm nothing.
Even like all this revenge stuff, she's at this point, like even when you're watching it, like she doesn't want Josh back. She just wants him to hurt. And she can't even get him to hurt. And that's what's killing her.
Yes.
Because I don't know who you are anymore if you're not in my life. It's like not even like if you're not in my life. It's like if you're not here for me to like abuse or yell at or figure out where I feel based on how you feel. Like, I don't know.
That's
I'm projecting
so sad
all
too.
My feelings.
I need somebody to be, I guess, it does go back to that misery loves company kind of thing. Like, I need somebody to share in this misery with me so that I can, like, validate myself or I can feel like
maybe I won't feel bad anymore.
Yeah. Or at least I'll have somebody to feel bad
with me. Or these feelings are real. If we both feel them, they must be real feelings. And I'm not just making it up in my head. I'm not just crazy.
So. I'm validated as my perspective is like vindicated.
But she also says like if I make him feel bad, then I won't hurt anymore. Then I'll be better.
Yeah,
like that's another thing she keeps pursuing, and she has like through all this season of I'm going to feel better if I do this,
which is completely flipped from where she was, I think, when she was seeing Dr. Akopian, where it was, if I get this thing that I love, that I, you know, mm-hmm. then I'm not going to feel bad anymore, mm-hmm. and everything will be great, and I'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she had that realization: wait, I got it, and I didn't feel any better. Now mm-hmm. it's if I make somebody else feel bad, then I'll yeah. feel better. It's going to be the same thing where she's like, oh, I mm-hmm. made somebody feel terrible, and it didn't work either. Like,
okay, yeah. I'm still lost.
Yeah. But it's still this pursuit of if this, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
If this, then yeah. life is good.
It's such a difficult – like I'm reading this. I picked up a Time magazine like special edition on emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started reading it, and I started reading that section on happiness. And it's such a like a difficult like entanglement in your brain to try to unravel yeah. and understand. Like I don't get people who are like – like people who are totally happy, I don't understand.
Nobody's totally happy.
I think the magazine actually kind of gets at that.
Nobody's totally yeah. happy.
The magazine kind of gets at that to an extent where it's like yeah. you really just get like spurts of happiness that you have to learn to like live for and yeah. kind of like.
Well, hint, when you see another person, you're seeing a snippet of their life.
Yeah.
So it's what they also choose to show
to project.
You.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This so is how like, I choose to be around people. Yeah.
This is the image I choose to show. Nobody, yeah. nobody's happy all the time.
I want
to
see people
no one
in those
is.
Miserable moments.
They don't want to show them. That's a very vulnerable thing.
It would make me feel better.
Exactly. I need to know that I'm not the only one feeling this way.
Go on YouTube. There's plenty of people not feeling good.
No, that's not real enough. That's
so. But we also have a moment with Paula, who has a dream, and Rebecca shows that moment in the dream where she's like, oh, yeah. I've hit rock bottom. Help me, please. Hmm. I need my mom. Hmm.
And that's what gets Paula to call Naomi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is good because at the same time she's calling, Rebecca's at the bar with an extra strong gin and tonic. And
telling that bartender once again that his bar is crappy.
And he's like, this is my dream.
Just hearing from people.
Poor bartender.
It's not a bad bar.
Sorry. And then I like where Rebecca's talking to Greg's dad, and he's like, you haven't heard about Greg? And he's like, what? Is he drinking again? He flunked out? He's bald? He's sad? He's fat? He's fat and bald and sad?
Like, during one of her runs of insults, he smiles a little bit.
Of course he did, because he's miserable too, and I love him. Yes. Get him. No.
I like that they defeat some expectation there too, because mm-hmm. I'm one of those, based on everything that I've seen in my life, I'm sitting there waiting for him to give that one thing that's like the little bit of old man advice where she's like, oh, I feel better now. No. And instead it's just like, you'll be all right.
He's just like, yeah, my son is a fuck up. Yeah. He would be funny, fat and bald.
This was funny watching with Jim because like I'm used to like watching shows that I've watched. I'm like, okay, you've got to watch this. And he's like, well, this is going to happen. And he's right. I'm like, how did you get that already?
Mm-hmm.
It drives me nuts. But we were watching this, and I was like, they're going to have sex. And he's like, no. Like,
no. Yeah. And then when it happened,
you're
I was like,
so
shit.
Right.
What? No.
Was I the only one that was screaming at the TV like, no.
Oh, no. I was doing the same thing.
I was at work, and I was like devastated, and like in like a little like cubicle mm-hmm. by myself, and like it's the weekend, so I'm the only female in the building. I'm like,
yes. And my reaction was like, oh god, oh god, oh god.
Like if anyone walks by right now, they're gonna be like, what is she doing? She's having a breakdown.
Why are you in the fetal position in your chair?
Watching some old guy make out with some younger
chick.
Girl. What is this?
Is this a porn? Who are you?
This is Rebecca Bush. She's hitting rock bottom.
From a writing perspective, though, it's so great.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Because
so
for them, for Paula to say she's going to hit rock bottom, and then for them to decide that that's what's going to happen, like that's perfect. That's mm-hmm. that's where it had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Greg. Greg's dad, like they went even lower mm-hmm. than that rock and just.
Well, it's her daddy issues. Like, it's perfectly written. I can't believe it. Like, I really can't. It's so good.
And I know we haven't gotten that part yet, but I love how when she tells Jarl's like, that's not in any of the
That one's very new.
That is one of my last notes.
I was like, that line was so good. It's like, you're right. Instead of dying, like, you know, your body dying, your soul just died a little. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's a
and
thing.
And you have to, you know, drag your ass back to your mom who's calling now.
Oh.
Which probably won't happen. Naomi might show up or something, or
she might mm-hmm. she might go home for some yeah. one time. Episode.
Yeah.
I think one episode.
Here's maybe. Something that's also kind of funny. So they do the life is so this is the end of the movie, Real Life Isn't a Movie. They start doing mm-hmm. that song. And Josh lives at 72514
yes.
Driftwood
yes.
Lane.
Yes, I noticed that on the resume. Yes.
Yes.
I'm like, he lives on Driftwood Lane.
He's Driftwood. He's Driftwood and he lives on the lane.
And he lives on the lane.
Not even a real street.
And then his email address has the zip code in it.
Uh-huh. It's like Josh loves West Covina.
You tool.
Basically. So.
Then we get the Josh Groban tune.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like opening Rebecca sadly walking down the street.
Yes.
You hear this beautiful Josh Groban-like type of voice singing about how life is not a movie.
Nope. Life is a gradual series of revelations.
If you watched a movie that was like Real Life, you'd be like, wow, that was kind of all over the place.
Yes, because life doesn't make narrative sense.
Yep.
We're not characters.
Yeah, the lyrics are excellent.
Yes. I like how they're also like, in a movie we all think we're the starring role, but sometimes we're really just an extra.
Yeah.
Like me, Josh Groban, in the background of this song.
Yes. And people are complicated. And that being said, it's really messed up that you banged your ex-boyfriend's dad.
Mm-hmm. Never bang your ex-boyfriend's dad.
Don't do it. Really?
His voice is magical.
It is magical. And for him to be like, never bang your ex-boyfriend's dad.
I think I dropped last week that my mom saw him in concert with her best friend Priest, so it's like 1,000 times better in my book now. I'm like, oh my god. My good sweet mom, her favorite band, or her favorite vocalist.
Josh, now sing the song. Sing the punch song.
Sing the one about banging the dad.
I want to see those requests roll in at like concerts from now on.
Life's not a movie, Josh. Sing it. And then so, after when she gets to the end, that's when Yarl and Rebecca are talking. She's like, I slept with my boyfriend's dad. That's not in the movies. I have officially ruined everything.
Mm-hmm.
Check that box off the list.
Ruined it all.
Boom.
Rock bottom.
And then mommy calls.
And then mommy calls. And then the credits. All the Rebeccas and no thanks to no one because no one was there for me. Special thanks to no one.
So I love all the small details that go into it. Go ahead. Though when Josh had the remotes in his like locker and he said, there are my flip-flops, I paused and I was looking for the flip-flops and the flip-flops were not there. It's a lie.
They were under them
did
all.
Did he just catch a glimpse maybe beneath one of the remotes?
Feels bad. They're against the wall.
His flip-flops are actually remote shape. Like they're remote controls.
Oh, there you go. He's going to make them out of remote controls. Yeah.
Plastic packaging.
Yeah. He's like, if I got stuck for stealing all this stuff, well, I'm going to make them into some rad flip-flops. Traction control with these buttons.
I do love how his nickname is Human Flip-Flop.
Yes! Mm-hmm.
And then it comes full circle to him being like, my flip-flop.
I love this.
Because he is.
Yep.
He has a human flip-flop.
Yeah. Never been more clear.
Who's a little human flip-flop?
Josh's.
Yeah.
Aw. Mr. Driftwood.
Aw.
Yeah, during that song, while they're, like, panning from character to character and showing their different, like, you know, their different, like, states in life, Josh filling out a resume, and it says goal, and it's just blank. He's got no idea. He's
no aimless. Goals.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I've been at that point where like you're sitting there like, what the fuck do I want to do? Oh my god, I don't. You know. And who else? They show up. Well, Daryl and White Josh in bed together, and you don't want to have a baby, do you? No. What are we gonna do? I don't know. You know. So it's a great little like show of like all of these people being at different poignant points in their life, that
I didn't want them to have problems, but.
They have to.
They're real.
Yeah. That's the thing. And sometimes you have people who you're like, man, from afar, you guys are perfect for each other. And they're just not.
They got something going on.
Daryl's not going to – they're not going to break up. Daryl's going to get over the baby thing or
– But then it's going to like pop up later on because instead of compromising, he's going to feel like he's settled. And then he's going to like suppress it until
here's your compromise, Daryl. Here's an egg. Take care of it.
No, Daryl. No. You have a daughter.
Exactly. Well, that's all
that's
I was yelling
true
at the TV.
That's when, take when care that, of your daughter.
When they showed that part, I was yelling at the TV. Like, go fucking be with your daughter. Like, you can just, that's
take
your
her to the beach or something. Yeah. Like, be a better father.
Yeah.
Josh is fine with being with your daughter. Yeah. Like, he's totally fine with that. He's like, yeah you're cool. You're all grown.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to worry about the spit up and the diapers.
There's none of that fear of like raising and screwing up a kid. Like, going back to his age too, he's young. Like,
he's so young. And, you know, like 2 years ago, he wasn't even having sleeves on his shirt. So I
And he was wearing, flip-flops at fancy restaurants.
Getting his soup sleeves some soup. Yeah. Like,
give him some time.
Exactly.
You're going to turn him into a boring straight guy.
No, why, Joe? Yeah, he didn't do his cute little like half crinkle smile that he does.
Well, he was real sad.
He was real sad. He was really stressed out too.
Damn feelings.
Feelings. Wow, feelings.
So many feelings.
Speaking of feelings, I don't know if it's time to bring it up. It's a song about cheese.
A cheese song.
Do we feel like eating cheese?
Cut the cheese for us, Shannon.
Was there anything else you guys wanted to say before I do my cheese song?
I want to hear about the cheese song.
All right. So this is kind of to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but, you know, I kind of like
should I see if I can find an instrumental version on my phone or something?
No, because mine will not match up. All right. But at any time, feel free to be like, bump, 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 you know. So this is a story all about how the bunch brought cheese to Covey Town. So I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you about some cheese that Rachel Bloom aired. Bum, 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 bum. In episode 2, Becca has a down day, so she goes to the store and meets Greg in a daze. Cheese puff in hand, he introduces the crew. Becca meets Valencia, girl crush ensues. And the same comes along in episode 3, where over cheese cubes we meet Scott Brandon Tommy. Then Bex becomes vegan at a taco fair. But don't worry, that's not the end of Jet Air. Because Daryl has a charcuterie tray and he brings back the cheese like a Red River game. A rock through a window brings truthful fondue and a confession over some wine with ice cubes. And then later, sweet Kevin recognizes in court the custom pizza and he shouts like a sport. And a dream ghost shows the sad quesadilla before Bunch and Dad say bye bye and see ya. Bum, banana. Then in season 2, Becca dreams of two guys, pizza delivered, fellas snuggle each side. The kids get some slices before Scott gets the boot for falling in Tanya's box just like a doof. Then woman gets paid to put cheese and steak after Nathaniel plays the stalkery snake. And in season 3, there's talk over Brie about how crack brought our cities to their knees. Bum, 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 bum. Now, my story's about done, but there's just one more thing I want to say about this cheese story string. While ordering a cheeseburger, Greg butt dials our hero, so Beck sleeps with his dad, now feels like a zero. So, next time you think about the crazy XG and the people we met and the dastardly deeds, look at the cheese because it's not really rare. Now I'm out to the store to get some Gruyere. Oh my God. Thank you, thank you.
Nicely done.
I really want cheese now.
I want a cheeseburger.
Then we'll have to have like an emotional crisis. Oh my God.
There is a lot of cheese in West Covina.
There's a lot of cheese.
At very important moments.
At important moments, yes. I was impressed. Like in season 1, I'm like, oh my God, we meet people with cheese. But thank you for letting me do my Covina cheese song.
Say save that forever. Give us the lyrics.
Yes! I'll type them up and email them to y'all.
Perfect. I don't know what we'll do with them, but...
I don't know. You'll just have just it have for those them. Moments. You're them. Like, man, I need to rap a song about cheese.
Sign a copy and put it on the wall here.
Yeah. Oh! I see an empty spot. We're missing a spongy thing. I'm going to take that as mine.
I'll put it in the dairy drawer at home.
Oh, I'm going to start putting them in, like, the freezers of grocery stores.
Yeah, like, take them up to the doors.
There should be, you could sell it to a cheese brand. Oh. Just have them, like,
can we get a sponsor yet? I wrapped a cheese song. Can we have a cheese sponsor?
Hello, Sargento.
Yes!
I am the cheese wrapper.
Unwrap the cheese.
No pun. Maybe a little.
Oh, what's the one?
Maybe one.
Maybe just one.
I wish so. You guys also. Oh, my God. I love you guys. You're all so smart and fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Has anyone seen any previews for next week, or were there any?
I don't remember.
No. I don't think I've been looking.
I haven't either.
I've been off Facebook most of the week.
Because usually they pop up on, you know, YouTube or something when you're jamming to a song. I've been, like, on the Twitter, but, like, a lot of it's just like, oh, my God, we love this episode.
Yeah.
And then reading, like, all the hundreds of comments, like, this is great. Like, what happened?
My phone's dead.
Miss Greg.
I could go on Instagram right now, and ooh. I bet there are, but my phone's dead. But usually Instagram will have some kind of behind-the-scenes thing. Or
oh. Is Moosh, are you looking right now?
I'm trying. We'll see how long this goes.
Rachel does stuff.
I have such a hard time with spoilers, but I'm doing it for you guys.
They're traditional teases, so I don't feel bad bringing them up. But if they're not teasing it,
that's
exciting. She's
wearing a coat.
She's in New York.
I just made that up.
Well, they have the cute video of her and, is it Vincent? The actor, what's his name?
D'Onofrio.
No, Josh.
Vincent Rodriguez.
Yes, Vincent Rodriguez.
Vincent Rodriguez.
They're on a Ferris wheel together from the set.
Aww.
There's a still of Scary Sexy Lady.
Oh, look, there's like a cartoon one of Rachel or Rebecca Bunch with a
black balloon behind her. The black hole.
Baby's black balloon makes someone die.
The latest one is from 7 hours ago and says, as we near the end of the filming season, we begin the time of season for wrap gifts. Today's amazing thermos comes from our writer's PA. It is a beautiful thermos that's a scary sexy lady and it's got the Starbucks logo with a knife and a teddy bear and like bush head.
Yeah!
This is a head.
Oh, that's so awesome!
So they haven't teased the episode, I guess, but she showed wrap gifts, which...
That's a fun... I would take that mug in a second.
Yeah. Merchandise the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Aww.
You're like, oh, it's just, you know, great show. You should watch it.
Oh. Say, where do you go from rock bottom, but...
You get a coffee mug.
You keep going. You keep going towards the bottom.
From rock bottom, you just, like, become, like, a roly-poly, right? Mm-hmm. You get yourself a nice shell, you lose your eyes, you get some extra legs, and you're fine.
You start sleeping with distant cousins instead of parents.
Oh, no!
You work with Greg's family.
My eyes!
Aw. Just ruined Greg's entire life.
No.
That wasn't even the person she was trying to ruin the life of.
No, but, you know, like, will Greg come back?
Something tells me Greg's fine. I don't want to see him again.
I don't want to see him again, but he'll be back. I have a feeling. Like, they keep bringing him up.
Well, I mean, for his dad's funeral.
Yeah. Obviously. So it's, I mean, next episode is either the funeral or the investigation.
We also have Heather's graduation. That should be coming up any day now because she was supposed to graduate in a week, like last episode 3.
Oh, my God. What if she gets a job?
But she has a job.
She has
she's
a job. And
douche.
She's good at it.
Yeah, but I don't think she can ride the douche wave forever. Like, that's going to...
She's going to be a life coach.
She's going to hit up on the beach. And she's just gonna dry. She's gonna be the mermaid coming out of the douche pool, trying to figure out where her legs will lead her.
Lead her.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, we'll find out on Friday, and then we'll be back again on Wednesday to talk about it. So we will talk to you guys in a week.
We love you.